Bushun and Dinaway Magani Duk. Besh go benesia que indigo. Mang in du dame. Ga osis qua jimmy cog in dunjaba. Gamis qua wako cog. Inda. Elaine Fleming Nindishina Kaz. Welcome once again, Minawa, to History of Leech Lake. Holy cow, it's a beautiful day outside. Minogishikad. It's a beautiful day. Springtime is here, you know, that legend that goes about the battle between Bibun, winter, and spring, Ziguan, that they were perpetual enemies, and Bibun was known as a strong, fierce warrior, and known for his strength. And Ziguan, springtime, though, he was different. He was the one who sang and brought the flowers and was so beautiful. And so these two would battle each year as springtime would come along. And they were battling over a young woman, a young Ikwe, that they both wanted for their woman to walk with. And so this woman, she finally got tired of their incessant battling. And they say she went and she hides now under the lily pads. And so you will see them. You will see that that lady, that young woman, she'll be peeking out from under the lily pads pretty soon, a wabiguan, a flower. And she'll be looking out for those two men battling over her. Ojibwe people, we have our stories and we have our ways of looking things. And our history here on Leech Lake is different than the people who came, the colonizers who came here later on as years went by. So I've been talking about the story of Star Island, and now I'm going to talk about Henry Rowe Schoolcraft, who came through Leech Lake and spent a night out on Star Island before he continued on to find what they say he found, the source of the Mississippi, the big river, the Mississippi River. And so in reading Schoolcraft's journal, Henry Rowe Schoolcraft, he wrote in June 9th of 1832 about traveling on the Mississippi River. And again, Schoolcraft, he was known for his previous expeditions and his publications. He was a writer. He was also a college man. And he was brought to the attention of the Secretary of War, John C. Calhoun, who saw him as a man of industry, ambition, and insatiable curiosity. And Calhoun, the Secretary of War, recommended Schoolcraft to the Michigan Territorial Governor, Lewis Cass, for a position on an expedition led by Cass to explore the wilderness region of Lake Superior and the lands west of the Mississippi River. And of course, this also had to do with they were trying to determine a question about the undetermined boundary between the United States and British Canada at the time. And so Cass traveled with Schoolcraft, and they made it as far as Red Cedar Lake, which is now known as Cass Lake. And at the time, they felt that they weren't able to go any farther. They weren't able to navigate any farther up the river. And so they determined that Cass Lake was the source of the Mississippi River. And, of course, this Cass Lake was renamed. It originally was known as Red Cedar Lake. And it would be renamed after this Lewis Cass. And that's what you'll find on the maps nowadays, Cass Lake, Minnesota. But when we talk about it, we talk about it in our language and about our culture, this place where there were an abundance of red cedar trees that are no longer here. But this Henry Rowe Schoolcraft, he was an American geographer, geologist, and ethnologist. And he was of quite an interesting man. He was noted for his early studies of Native American cultures, as well as his 1832 expedition to the headwaters of the Mississippi River, the source of the Mississippi River. He served as a United States Indian agent. Beginning in 1822, he married a mixed-race woman named Jane Johnston. Her father was a prominent Scotch-Irish fur trader, and her mother was Ojibwe. And Jane Johnston, his wife, taught Schoolcraft the Ojibwe language and about her own culture on her mother's side. Jane Johnston was recognized as the first known Indian poet, the first known poet to write poems in a Native American language, and the first known American Indian to write out traditional Indian stories. So then I begin with the entry in Schoolcraft's journal on June 9th, 1832, and he writes about going to a little lake called Winnipeg. And now we know that as Little Winnipegosish Lake. And Winnipegosish, I'm told it translates to dirty water. But before he can get to Little Winnipeg Lake, or Little Winnipegosish Lake, he travels through Ball Club Lake, which at that time was called Lac La Crosse. And of course, we know in other stories I've talked about Ball Club and how it was known for its sports with the lacrosse, the game of lacrosse. Anyway, Schoolcraft wrote about the large, fine whitefish that were in abundance in the Ball Club Lake. And even today, Nongum, this is where many of us still purchase whitefish, both smoked and fresh, particularly those of us from Cass Lake who are told not to eat the whitefish from our own Pike Bay because of the contamination from the St. Regis Superfund site. The St. Regis Paper Company Superfund site is that contaminated site that consists of 125 acres on the Leech Lake Reservation within the Chippewa National Forest and in the city of Cass Lake. The former wood preserving facility operated from 1957 to 1985. And in 1957, I was 5 years old living in this site. And that's where I was raised from the time I was 6 months old in 1952 in this Superfund site. So in 1957, I was 5 years old and I'd walk through the site to go to kindergarten through that wood mill across the railroad tracks. There were no buses coming to our homes on the south side of Cass Lake. But because of this wood treatment facility, the groundwater, surface water, sediment, and soil on and nearby the site were contaminated because of the wood preserving process and the waste disposal activities. And so the whitefish, which was my mama Iban's favorite fish and mine too, is a fish containing the most fat. It feeds near the bottom of lakes where contaminants settle. Consequently, in the late 1990s, my brothers quit netting in Pike Bay and began setting net in Big Lake Winnipegosish, which is about 40 miles from our home in Cass Lake. And this is the lake that Henry Rowe Schoolcraft would travel through, coming to Star Island and then on to finding the source of the Mississippi River. But even today, when you travel through Ball Club on Highway 2, which is about 30 miles east of Cass Lake, you'll see signs advertising the sale of smoked whitefish. And I'll tell you, it's good smoked whitefish. On the north side of the highway, you'll see a little wooden stand from which smoked whitefish is sold. It's no secret that the whitefish was the favorite fish of the older Ojibwe, as opposed to the walleye that's so favored nowadays by tourists and many people. But so in Schoolcraft's journal, he gets through Lake Winnebogoshish, the big lake, and then he'll travel on to Cass Lake, which was Red Cedar Lake at that time. And so I'll continue with that story and how Schoolcraft ends up on Star Island. So, mi gwech bisandawi eg, mi gwech mi iu.